Our word for last night is still here. Vessels. Our word for this morning, again, if I could summarize my burden in one word, it would be this. Did I spell it right? Shepherding. But I have a little concern that now this word is rather common among us. We have repeated this matter of shepherding very often. And I have said, maybe even to those of you who've been with us here in the past, that the number one characteristic of any labor, service, or work with either young people or children, the number one characteristic must be shepherding. Amen. Not teaching. But we'll see later, shepherding and teaching go together. Shepherding. Not meetings, but shepherding. But this word, or the burden behind this word, I think maybe I need to give you another word that will maybe better convey my burden, which is included in shepherding. So I'm going to give you this word. Reaching. Reaching. For shepherding, you often have to move. You can't stay where you are, because the ones you want to shepherd go astray. You know, the gospel message that I heard when I received the Lord was about a shepherd. It's actually in your scripture reading. We're going to go through some of these verses in a bit. In your scripture reading, you have Luke 15. This was the portion. I didn't know it was Luke 15. But this was the portion my sister spoke to me to share the gospel with me when I was 7 years old. That was a while back. I was a little boy of seven. And she shared the story of a man who had 100 sheep. You know this story. Nearly everyone knows this story. And he left the 99 to do what? To do what? To reach the one. He was seeking until he reached. Do you understand? Imagine you seek, but you never reach. That would be disappointing. That's not fulfilling. But this shepherd went to seek that lost sheep and finally reached the lost sheep. Dear saints, if you want to take care of young people, especially today, you need to reach out to them. You need to reach out, because the tendency is away, away. And the world has its pull and attracting. So we need to reach. But you might actually reach, but you don't reach. So I reach. I spend time with him. But I never reach his heart. So it's a double reach. Concerning our own children, they might live with you. They're with you every day. But I ask you, as parents, have you reached their heart? Or maybe when they were little, certainly you did. Because the door is wide open all the time. Because with little children, as anything happens, good or bad, the first reaction is, Mommy! Mommy, Mommy! Look what Uncle So-and-so gave me! Mommy, Mommy! Or, Mommy! Good or bad? But did you realize, mommies, that someday that ends? Did you realize? Did it end yet? Don't let it end. Don't let it end. Oh, that whatever happens, they're 17, something good happens. They go, Mom! You're the first one they want to tell. Something bad happens. Mom! You're the first one they need to tell. That would be very good. You know what that means? That means you reach them. You reach their heart. Our caring for the young people is a quest to reach their hearts. If they're in your meetings for 6 years and you never reached their heart, whether it was good meeting or not good meeting, doesn't matter anything. They could have been with you in your summer school for 6 straight years. Memorized all the verses. They may be your top student. But if after 6 years, you didn't reach their heart, where will they go when they go to university? What will happen? Even they go to a place where, oh, there's a church there. You know, we get concerned about our children. Oh, where will they go for the university? Oh, there's a church there. Oh, good, good, good. You know, we found out that doesn't mean, well, I shouldn't say it doesn't mean anything. It surely means something. But I would say, not good enough. Not good enough unless someone either here or there has reached their heart. If we've reached their heart, in a good sense, doesn't matter where they go, everything's okay. Actually, they'll go there, probably be a seed of the gospel. If there's no church there, maybe a church will be raised up through them. This has happened. So, shepherding must be the main characteristic of our labor with our young people. This includes the children. This includes the teenagers, the high schoolers. This includes the college students. Yes, we want them to know the word. We want them to be perfected. We want them to have the vision. All those things. All those things. But if we are not able to reach them through our shepherding, everything else is on shaky ground. Everything else. The title of this lesson is Shepherding the Young People According to the Lord's Heart. This title is taken from 1 Peter 5. We will read that in a moment. In the scripture reading, again, before we get into the points on the outline, I would like to read some of these verses to go through, that we could kind of have a kind of impression. Actually, we'll go through these plus a few others. So you could have a kind of impression how much this matter of shepherding is in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, but really in the whole Bible. Maybe the verses that are most well known, even by unbelievers, probably John 3:16. Right, John 3:16. Sometimes in the sports events, you see people with a placard. This is John 3:16. You have the Blue Jays here, right? Blue Jays? That's your baseball team? You used to have another team. I used to like that team a lot. The Montreal Expos. I used to love the Expos. Mostly their uniform color. Yeah. They weren't very good for most of the time. But I still liked them very much. And when you look at the baseball game, sometimes behind the, when they show the pitcher throwing to the catcher, oh, right there on the first or second row, there's someone holding up a sign. John 3:16. I don't know if in your football they do this too, but I know in the American football games, sometimes they do that. In the end zone, you know when they kick? Do they kick things? Right? In your, yeah. There? And then in the end zone, somebody's holding up. It's probably a believer. Amen. When you see that, you say, amen for my brother there who's at the football game. We don't know who he is, but he's probably our brother. Amen? Yeah. Amen. That's in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, what verse is probably the most well-known? Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. Isn't that precious? It's precious. The Lord is my shepherd. But let's read a few other verses. Let's not start with John 21. Let's start with John 10. Let's look at John 10. I said it, we'll read a few verses that are not listed here. And right from the beginning, let's read verses 1 through 4. 1 through 4. John 10, 1 through 4. All together. Truly, let's read verses 7 through 11. 7 through 11. Let's continue to read through 14. No. Yeah. Sorry. Continue reading. So start with 11 through 14. Go. Not only the shepherd, you have a door. The Lord says, I'm the shepherd. He also says, I'm the door. You know, to be a shepherd You need to be a door. This is funny talk. What does it mean to be a door? Well, first, we have to be the shepherd to reach people. Then we need to become the door for them to come into Christ or into the experience of Christ. The allusion here is actually the door to go to the pasture, for the sheep to go into the pasture. That's shepherding. You reach people, you reach their heart, and you become their entrance into Christ. That's what we're trying to do. Our goal is not to have good meetings. But sorry to say, often the serving saints, I understand the reason that it ends up that way. But often it does end up on a Saturday afternoon because you were so busy with life, with your family, and with the church life, because this is not the only thing you're doing, many other responsibilities, and you hardly got a chance to coordinate. So we get together, or maybe we call each other. Now it's too easy to do some kind of conference call. Oh, before, even to set up a conference call was a big deal. Now we just toot, and everybody can talk. Just an aside. Especially brothers, face-to-face fellowship, there's nothing like it. Be careful not to substitute all the fellowship with just the online things. That's just an aside, sorry. But the serving saints get together. Oh, what should we do? Oh, I don't know. I had this feeling. That's good. Why don't you go this week? Why don't you share something this week? And then we have the meeting. Then we get together. When we get together, I also saw this, the serving saints. Most of the prayer is for the meeting, not for the young people themselves, name by name. Maybe here it's different. That would be wonderful if it's different. I don't know your exact situation. But I know in many places like this, serving saints get together. Oh, amen. What are we covering this week? What's the material? Then they pray for the meeting and they coordinate who will do what. Or coordinating the next conference or the next event. Oh, did I bring it? Excuse me. I think I brought it. Excuse me. I want to recommend to you, I meant to have this ready, sorry, to show to you. This little booklet. I think every time I come, I've recommended this little writing. This is a message shared by Brother Lee, I think in 1963 in Taipei. How to lead the young people. And this little writing, it's very, you could read it in one sitting. You could read this. It's so short. He gives 6 points of how to reach the young people, not just lead the young people, how to reach the young people. And you know what he says in here? He says, if you ask him how to have a work with the young people, he would say, no meetings for 1 year. Only contacts. Which is what? Reaching them. And he said, when you talk to them, for the first 10 times, don't talk anything spiritual. Oh, that was a big shock. That was a big shock to me when I first saw this. And it's been a big shock to many people when they, what? He said, don't ask them. The first thing is, did you read your Bible? Have you had morning watch? Did you preach the gospel? Some of the serving saints, they said, if we don't talk spiritual things to them, we don't know what to talk to them. But he encourages here. He encourages personal contact and show interest. Show interest in them. We'll come to this. I don't want to get ahead of myself. We'll come to this in our second session this morning. Okay, so I'm just going to put this aside. What I want to point out to you, my reason to mention this now, is that in the church in New York City, well, now we actually have 8 meeting halls in different places in the city. But there was a time, actually, for the first 45 years of our church life in New York City, only one meeting hall. And for 45 years, only one meeting hall. Then we finally got hall number 2. Hall number 2. And I was sent there, hall number 2, which was in Manhattan. A number of you have visited that place. And so we went there, and we had mainly the serving saints, mainly, almost exclusively, young adults, young working saints, and graduate students. So not all working. Young working saints and graduate students, taking care of the majority of the services in the church life. It's a very good experience for them. Very good experience. Now all those young working saints are in their late 30s and 40s with families of their own. Some of them 5 children, 4 children. It's very good. Very good. And they're spread all over in the 8 meeting halls. But when we started that, we set up every service from scratch. We set up the ushering service, the children's service, and the nursery service. We set up the finance service. We set up the cleaning and arranging. We set up the Lord's table service. Every service. Even the purchasing. Because we were all in hall 1. None of these young people, none of them were ever involved with purchasing. Now we have, in that little hall, let's see, how many bathrooms? We had 5 bathrooms. 5, 4, 5, 6. 6 bathrooms in that little hall. We had 6 bathrooms. Now, someone needs to buy toilet tissue. They never thought about it before. They never thought that, someone has to be responsible for such a thing. Yeah. Before, you go to the restroom, no toilet tissue. Then they complain. Now you can't complain. It's not there because you didn't purchase. This is very good. Very good responsibility. You have to think ahead. Even the chalk. Someone has to purchase the chalk ahead of time. And the paper clips. You know, you go to the office. All these things are there. Where do they come from? That's someone's service. Okay. So anyway, my point is we picked up every service. Then the saints asked me, brother, you didn't say anything about young people. Young people's service. Several of them had served young people in hall number 1. And we had 5 teenagers in this hall. Actually, not teenagers yet. 1 12-year-old and 4 13-year-olds. And of the 4, triplets. Yeah. A group of triplets and another 13-year-old and a 12-year-old girl. Yeah, that was our young people. I introduced this to them. I told them, we have an opportunity to actually apply what Brother Lee shared with us. In hall 1, you can't read this and say, Brother Lee said no meetings for a year, so stop the young people's meeting. No, then you don't understand what he's saying. Because we had an established young people. I was in the young people's meeting in New York. I mean, as a young people. I myself, as a teenager, was in the young people's meeting in New York. So we've had a young people's meeting there for decades. That doesn't mean stop your young people's meeting. But anyway, we had an opportunity in hall 2 to not have meetings, but to carry out a young people's service by just shepherding. So I told him, let's apply this. Let's see if this works. So for actually not 1 year, for 18 months, we didn't start the young people's meeting. But you know what? We had serving saints. And every so often, I would get together with them. And you know what we would do? We would pray. And you know what we would pray for? Not the meetings. Because there was no meeting to pray for. There was no lesson to be occupied with. There was no coordination. Because there was nothing to coordinate for. So we didn't have to be distracted or spend our time with these things. Now, granted, saints, if you have a young people's meeting, you need to take care of all these things. I'm making a point, though. We prayed the whole time for each child. Amen. We prayed for them. We prayed for their families. We prayed for their situation. And then we found out, okay, who has contacted each of these five? It was easy because we had 8 or 9 saints serving. Can you imagine? 8 or 9 saints with only 5 young people and no meetings. All you're preoccupied with is contacting them. And then we found out, even besides these 8 or 9, there were other saints who were concerned for them. So we brought them into our fellowship. There was an older brother, actually quite new in the church life, but very energetic, very loving. And so some of these high schoolers would come Saturday morning to the meeting hall to join our corporate morning watch. We used to have a corporate morning watch at 8:30 for 1 hour. And then after that, we'd have breakfast together. And these high schoolers, they enjoyed coming to that. Then after the breakfast, a very simple breakfast, very simple, because we didn't have a kitchen. We're not like you. Actually, even our hall one is not like you. We don't have any facility like you. But anyway, we made do with what we had. So the saints bring a little, some donuts or something, or and then sorry, we didn't have Tim Hortons at that time. We do now. We actually have, anyway, okay. So the high schoolers enjoyed being in such a time. Then after the breakfast, we serve with the cleaning. And this older brother would always take one of these triplets, one of these boys, to what? To clean. Clean the bathroom. And then four floors, we had a stairwell to sweep and mop. And they were just together from the top floor to the bottom floor talking. They became friends. And this brother was not a quote-unquote serving one. He's just a brother in the church, but very energetic, very happy that he's in the church life. Oh, that kind of joy infusing this 13-year-old boy. That brother reached him. He reached him. You know, eventually those 3 boys all went to the full-time training. Can you imagine? 1 semester, they all were there together. They overlapped, driving the trainers crazy. So, wait, didn't I just see you? Like this. Can you imagine triplets there in our training? But how did they get there? Because someone reached each one of them. Amen. You know, these 3 boys, I hope they never hear this. You know, they're triplets, and they're referred to as the triplets. At a certain time, I asked the saints, please don't talk like that. Each of them is a brother. Each of them is an individual. Each of them is a person. We need to reach each of them. And the brothers did, by their faithful labor, going out, being with them, just being with them. Eventually, we did start a meeting. We did start a meeting, and that meeting grew quite a bit. But my point is, what the fellowship here, this is actually what we're trying to convey to you. It works. The personal contact. Nothing can substitute the personal contact. We reach them, and then we become their door. Yes, the Lord is the door. The Lord is the door. But we need to be Christ to them and be the door into the pasture. Let's look at Ephesians chapter. No, sorry. Let's go in order. Let's go to Acts now. Acts chapter 20. And verse 28. This is listed. In the scripture reading. Let's read together. Take heed to yourselves. Amen. Amen. The Lord has placed the overseers, that is the leading ones, to shepherd. I like to emphasize this. Brothers who are taking the lead and brothers who are learning to take the lead, wherever you are, the Lord places you there as overseers, not to give announcements. You know, when I was a young brother, I thought, you may think this is silly. I thought, one day I want to grow up and give announcements in the meeting. I thought it would be a glorious thing to be able to stand in front of the saints at the end and say, "Saints, we'll end the meeting here. We have a few announcements." And then to say, "We're dismissed." I don't know why, when I was a young brother, when I was a teenager, I thought, one day I'm going to grow up to give the announcements. You gave announcements last night. You're going to give them again today. Is it that big a deal? No, you'd rather not. Yeah. But and now I'd rather not. That's why we're having you do it. But I used to think, one day I'll stand in front of the saints. When I was a teenager, sometimes I'd go to the meeting hall. Nobody was there. I'd be cleaning, but secretly, I don't think I've ever confessed this to anyone. You know what I did? I went and I got the microphone. It was off. And I went and I put it on. And I even practiced putting on the microphone when nobody was watching. I was just an ambitious young man. Sorry. But the Bible doesn't say what? I place you as overseers to put on the microphone, to give announcements. It says, I placed you as overseers to shepherd. To shepherd. Brothers, that's your number one job. In a sense, that's your only job. Are you taking the lead in your group meeting? Your job is to shepherd. Amen. To oversee. To oversee doesn't mean to be the boss. To oversee is to make sure the sheep are accounted for and they're eating and they're healthy. That's our job. And firstly, are they accounted for? Who's missing? Someone should always have an eye. Who's missing? Oh, Mike is not here. Oh. Then I said, where's Mike? And someone said, I think I heard he's busy, you know, his job is kind of busy. Oh, he's busy. And then the next, maybe Lord's Day. Oh, Mike's not here. Then someone else, where's Mike? I said, oh, I think his job is really demanding. He's really busy. I think. It's all I think. And it turns out maybe Mike was sick. And then very sick for a week. And none of us called him. None of us, a little text. Hi, brother, how are you doing? Because we all assume, he's just very busy. He's very busy. I don't want to bother him because he's very busy. Then after a week, he's there sick. He says, I've been here. Not one person texted me. Not one person called me. Is there love in the church? Do you know that? Like that, a little thought could come. Then, now it's time for the group meeting again. Tonight, he says, why do I want to go to a group meeting like that? These saints don't know love. Then Mike is missing again. Then someone asks me, where's Mike? And I tell them, his job is really busy these days. And we only reach out when? Sometimes too late. When we already heard. Yeah. Mike complained about something. The overseers need to be accountable. They keep, is everybody? Where is everyone? Where is everyone? And don't assume. Don't assume. Oh, these days, we're getting a little tougher with our serving brothers. When we ask, why isn't Brother David in the meeting? Someone says, I think. We say, brother, is it or is it not? Do you know or do you not know? If you know, please tell us. If you don't know, say, I don't know. And then please contact the dear brother and let us know. Not, I think. Oh, dear saints, just this. If we would take this and apply this, I think there'd be more shepherding. In this I say, I think. Maybe I'd rather say, I believe there would be more shepherding. Don't assume. Reach people. That means contact them and find out the real situation. Sometimes we contact the saints, we find out, a family member passed away. And they were very close with them. And somehow all the arrangements fall on them. And they're under a lot of pressure. Just at the time when at work there's a deadline and they're under a lot of pressure. And just at the time they found out they had some health issue that they haven't told us yet. Sometimes one phone call reveals all these things. The dear saints are going through so much. And we never knew. But you know, I also found in the body is real. In the body of Christ, the Lord will give some sense sometimes. Call. Amen. Call Brother Mark. And out of the blue, have you ever sensed this? Just a feeling. You just think, Mark. And I should just, I don't know why. Don't question. Just say amen. And just a little text. Hi, brother. How are you doing? The brother might say, brother, You contact me just at the right time. I needed someone. Do you have a minute to pray? Have you experienced that? Right, the Lord, it's really the body. It's really the body. One member taking care of the other. The members take care of one another. But if you never reach out, reach people, you'll never know. You'll never know. Let's continue. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Verses 11 and 12. Amen. And He himself gave some
as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as shepherds and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ.
Oh, saints, here we see that for the building of the body, the shepherding is too crucial. Too crucial. The Lord gave gifts. Now, only four categories are mentioned here. Only four categories. And we consider the apostles, oh, to be an apostle, what that would be. Be a prophet to speak for the Lord. An evangelist, preach the gospel. But you have this gift, shepherds and teachers. All these gifts are needed for the building of the body. But I would say, in a sense, the shepherding includes all the other gifts. What is an apostle? What is the meaning of the word apostle? A sent one. The Lord sends us to people all the time. All the time, the Lord sends us to people. The Lord sends us to our children. You know, we can be an apostle to our children. The Lord sends us to our neighbor. The Lord sends us to the market. The Lord sends us to the saints. Every week there's some feeling, little feeling. Contact this one. A remembrance of someone. It's not a small thing. When you go to them, you go with the Lord. Then you very often we have the sense to speak something. Now again, we need wisdom, because some, when you visit them, you shouldn't speak anything. Just visit them. Amen. And some, and the Lord sends us with the gospel, and we're an evangelist. But all of these are actually carried out by shepherding. All of these are carried out through the shepherding, through going to people, through contacting people, through visiting people. And I think especially with young people, we just need to reach them. But we need to reach them where they are. Reach them where they are. Now, with children, I'd say much easier to reach them. Because at the beginning, especially with their parents, they're dependent on you. They love you. They want you. They want their parents and their grandparents. But did you notice when they are one, when they are three, when the daddy comes home, the children are, "Daddy!" But when they're 9, 13, 17, can you figure a 17-year-old, and you walk in the door, and you're 17-year-old, "Dad!" Hardly. Unless you've been away for a week. But come home from work on a regular... Sometimes they might be at the dining table, and you walk in, and they're like, "Oh, hey." And only because you said, "Hi, son!" Hi. Or they're with the things. And you go, "Hey," they go. Or they're busy. They're busy. So they're talking. What happened? What happens between 3 and 13? What happens between 3 and 17? There's a connection that often is lost. I like to encourage the parents, especially the parents with the younger children. Be diligent and be vigilant to observe, not to lose the connection. Now, that does not mean you don't give them space. You don't let them grow. There is a certain level of independence that children need to grow properly. They need to learn on their own. There needs to be the space. But always show interest. Always show interest in their things. In their things. You know, when you see a little child, maybe they're playing on the floor. You do, the children do Legos here? You know Legos? Yes. I love Legos. And they're doing something. Often you would sit down next to them. And do, what would you say? What are you doing? And then, I'm making a car. Oh. And you show interest. You show interest. But I found out, oh, children, 10, 11, 12, young teenagers. See, the parents already know what they're doing and have no interest. Actually, would prefer they don't do that. Would prefer they don't listen to that. Would prefer they don't read that. So for you to go and say, what are you doing? Oh, it's painful. And to show interest in that, oh, you might feel, no, never, I'm compromising. Well, I would say, we should follow the Lord's example. Follow the Lord's example. I've mentioned here, I think when I was here last, I mentioned these two portions. Luke 24. John 21, which is listed here as the first section on the scripture reading. To me, those two portions are the best example of shepherding. You know, in Luke 24, this is on the day of resurrection. In the morning, the sisters go to the tomb. He's not there. The angel meets them, tells them, and they go back and tell the brothers, he's risen. There's just kind of confusing, except for the ones who actually saw him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Get yourself into their shoes. What that was like. The Lord, wait, are you really here? No wonder the Lord said, don't touch me. Because Mary, of course, would, don't touch me. I haven't risen to the Father. Go to my brothers. And then they came and spread the word, and they're thinking, it can't be. So what? These two brothers. We only know the name of one, Cleopas and the other brother. It seems like they can't take it anymore. So they leave, and they walk. And they're going back, it seems, to home, to Emmaus, which is actually a 7-mile or 11-kilometer walk. And so they're walking back. And then what? Suddenly, another person walking with them. I ask, do you think they were walking fast? No, I don't think so. Because they were despondent. You know, when you're sad, you walk slow. They were walking. I don't understand what happened. Oh, and then all of a sudden, there's another with them. And they don't recognize him. This is a hint how to shepherd. Reach people and be unrecognizable. What does that mean? Don't go there and say, hi, I'm here to shepherd you. The Lord didn't introduce himself. Jesus. Resurrected Jesus. Resurrected Jesus. See? He just walked with them. And said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? What are these things that you are discussing? You know what that was? It's like sitting down with the children with the Legos. What are you doing? You know, when you say, what are you doing? Don't you know what they're doing? But you ask the question anyway. Why? Because you're trying to reach them. So the Lord says, what are these things you're discussing? Because are you, and then their answer. Are you the only one in Jerusalem that does not understand, know the things that have occurred with us in these days? you know, if you really touch the spirit there, I don't like his Opus's attitude, actually. It's a little disrespectful and condescending. And Jesus says, you know what Jesus says? What things? Didn't he know? He's God. Not only he's God, it's him. Like, they're talking about the things that happened to him. Yeah. What things? That's shepherding. That is being human and divine. That's the way to reach their hearts. You know, later. Let me not get ahead of myself. Then it says they stopped. And then he starts to share. Was it not necessary? He said, oh, foolish and slow of heart to believe. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer all these things to enter into his glory? And from there, he started to open the scriptures. And they still don't recognize him. Do you see the shepherding and teaching? And they continue walking and talking. And then later, once he, you know, they get into the house, breaks the bread, and they realize, what do they say? Were not our hearts burning within us as he spoke these things to us? Do you see? He reached their hearts. That's shepherding. Where you can talk to someone and they don't even realize Jesus is visiting them. But there's something within them that, like, wants to be in the meeting now. Because, you know, after that, they ran to the meeting to be with the brothers. And this is what Jesus was trying to do, because that night, in the upper room, he was going to appear to all of them. And what? So the continuation of this story is actually John 20. Are not our hearts burning within us? Oh, not only so, they get to a certain point, and it's, I guess there was like a fork in the road, and they would reach the house, and they go this way to Emmaus, to their home. And then, if you look, it says in verse 28, Luke 24, 28. If that were not in the Bible, I would dare not say it. It says, he acted as if he would go further. Now, we were not there. We don't know the exact words, but in something like this, they say, oh, we live here. Would you stay with us? Would you come and have a meal with us? And he, oh, no. I wouldn't want to impose. That's okay. I'm going to go further. No, please stay. Well, maybe for a little while, if it's not an inconvenience. Where was he going? What did he want to do, really? He wanted to go into the house. Why did he play like this? He was just reaching their hearts. He had a way to open their hearts. Oh, to me, there's no better example of shepherding. Nothing imposing. Even a little acting. Some divine human acting. You know what I found out, saints? This fellowship here, the fellowship concerning the reaching of the young people, I realized, young people, this is the way to reach my own children. I like to apply this to my own children. So, saints, dear parents among us, I tell you, I changed my way concerning even my own children in order to reach them and bridge the gap. We need to bridge that gap. Again, I repeat, it's not that we don't give them space, let them grow properly. Doesn't mean we're over them all the time. Go to the meeting, go to the meeting. Not like this. It's a matter of reaching their hearts. Reaching their hearts. I don't know if we have time to reach the outline. Let's read a little bit of the outline. Romans 1. Let's read all together. Amen. Yeah, let's continue. Romans 2. Amen. Then number 3. Amen. We should read these verses. 1 Peter chapter 5. This is Peter's exhortation to the leading ones. Very similar to Paul's in Acts 20, verse 28. Let's read verses 1 through 4. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. Here in our outline in point B, it says, our natural tendency is not to shepherd others, but to criticize them and regulate them. Whenever we criticize someone, we lose the position to take care of that one. Our natural tendency is to regulate others and place demands on them according to ourselves, not to cherish and nourish them according to God. See, we need to have a change of concept through being discipled, to have the divine concept, the concept that is according to the Father's loving heart and the Son's shepherding spirit. Then if you look at F on the back, let's read this quotation together. If this The next point, this Romans 5, actually is talking about not just shepherding young people, but more generally shepherding dormant saints, saints who have not been with us. All these points apply. All these points apply. And we really, really do need this. We really, really do need this. I just would point out a couple of things here, and I'll leave the reading of the outline in detail to you. But here, in point B, it says, now is the time to put the affairs of our household in order. And the first matter we should address is to find these saints in order to bring them back. If we would do this thoroughly by the Lord's grace, we could recover 2/3 of them within 2 or 3 years. Actually, we should have read A. These saints are the harvest, especially our young people. These saints are the harvest from our past labor and hard work. They were baptized. They are our family members, but they have all disappeared. Therefore, we must take this matter seriously. Then, Yes, if we go down to D, visiting dormant saints needs much consideration. If we do not do it properly, we will drive them further away. Saints, we are trying to mobilize the brothers and sisters. Not as much invitation, more visitation. Visit people. Go to them. Reach them. But when you reach them, don't reach them and then invite them. That defeats the purpose. Yes, like the Lord, you want them in the meeting that night. You know, Luke 24, that was the Lord's desire. He was shepherding them to that meeting. He never, or in the record, it never says he told them to go back to Jerusalem. It never mentions anything about that gathering. Yet, that was the result. That was the result. Just contact them and show interest in them. Oh, I read a message during this period of time. This was in the 1980s when Brother Lee was in Taiwan in the study of the God-ordained way. And this is where he says, we need to put our affairs in order, take care of our household. But anyway, I read a message that he gave in 1985, around 1985. It's in the book, Crucial Words of Leading in the Lord's Recovery. I believe it's book number 4 and chapter 11. It's on visitation, visiting the dormant saints. And that chapter, if you read it, is basically all the things we should not do when we visit people. He says things like this. When you visit people, don't say, "Oh, Mike, how long has it been?" Oh, don't do that. Then you're emphasizing, you're condemning him without, you're not intending to condemn him. But inside, he's like, "Oh, I've been gone a long time. I'm hopeless." And don't say, "Oh, hi, Mike. Wow, you missed a good meeting this morning, brother. Oh, the Lord really is blessing his church. The Lord's really going on since you stopped coming." Of course, you wouldn't say that last part, but that's how he takes it. "Oh, the Lord's really going on. Oh, the Lord doesn't need me." Oh. Actually, you read the chapter and you think, "Brother Lee, like, if I can't do this and this and this and this and this, what can I do? What can I say?" Well, he gives the answer to that too. He says, "Go there and say nothing. And just smile to them." Just smile to them. Eventually, they'll offer you some tea. Oh, you sit down and you just enjoy tea together. Don't invite them to the meeting. Sometimes, I've heard this from our young people. The saints call me only to invite me to the next meeting, to the next event. Do you really love them? That's what they're wondering. Do you love me, or am I a number in your meeting? Now you can say, "Oh, this one came back. Oh, now we have so many. Why didn't you think of me before the next event?" In point F, it says, love is the most excellent way for us to be anything and to do anything for the building up of the body. We must have the kind of love to go and tell the dormant ones who think that the church condemns them, that the church does not condemn anyone. Rather, the church wants to see all the dormant ones come back because the church is a home, a hospital, and a school. We must be one with the Lord to raise up, to heal, to recover, and to teach others in love. Love is not jealous. Love is not provoked. Does not take account of evil. Covers all things. Endures all things. Never falls away. And is the greatest. Sorry, in this session I'm not leaving you time for your responding. But this fellowship is meant to go along with the fellowship in our next session. I'll give you time there that you can respond to both both sessions, okay? How about, again, we have a little prayer with one or two around us for a minute, and then we have a few announcements, and we can take our break.